Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of July 23rd, 2023. It's taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and it's entitled, Acting Wisely Towards God. The call to worship is from Psalm 89, verse 8 and 15. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Amen. A little boy once asked, why is it that when I open a marigold, it dies? But if God does it, it is so beautiful. Then he said, I know. It's because God always works from the inside. That's God's wise way of working in us also, from the inside out. God has a natural process for the flower to take in what it needs, process it, and when it is ready, the flower opens in preparation to make seeds so the process of growth can continue. God's wisdom with us is also amazing. He doesn't force his wisdom on us. He does his work from the inside out. Wisdom is not just a collection of cute sayings for us to memorize and quote to someone else. The wisdom we have from God's word is to be read, reflected upon, considered in the light of other choices we could make, and then acted upon. These words of wisdom haven't had an impact on you until you choose to follow their advice and allow them to work from the inside, that's your thoughts, to the outside, your actions. Today we are looking at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. The format used in this chapter is a father continuing to explain the benefits of wisdom to his son. The father is likely King Solomon, and the son may be the future king. The first four verses introduce the subject of wisdom with a call for the son to not just hear these words, but to integrate them into one's life for true success. The second section, verses 5 to 12, highlight four ways to act wisely towards God. As we prepare to move on to the first section, I want to draw your attention to something interesting in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Because Proverbs often likes to use contrasts to teach, notice the odd-numbered verses, that's verses 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11, in this passage, describe how we should respond and apply wisdom in our lives. And then notice how the even-numbered verses, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and 12, describe how God's response to our choice of implementing wisdom in our daily lives. So that's something interesting to notice. We'll see this in our first section, how to benefit from wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. First of all, looking at verses 1 and 3, we see that we benefit from wisdom by internalizing it. Verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. And then verse 3 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We remember what is important to us. You know, sometimes we can say we're so forgetful, but we remember those things that are important to us. and what we've reviewed in our minds. You know, what is it that you go over and over and review and maybe talk to other people about? Unfortunately, sometimes it's about what others have done to us, what someone said that hurt us. We review those things and we wonder why we have a hard time forgetting them. Remember, review what's important. This chapter begins with a call to remember and internalize the Father's wisdom, that is, to take it to heart. He says, write them on the tablets of your heart. Take it in. This is done as one is humble enough to realize their need for wisdom outside their own limited experience. There's an old proverb which says, those who know not and know they know not, teach them. Those who know not, but know not they know not, shun them. So take in and realize that you don't know everything. How to benefit from wisdom, take it in, internalize it. Now, secondly, why should we do this? Why should we internalize wisdom? Verses 2 and 4 tell us. Verse 2, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. And verse 4, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. We are told there are great benefits in taking the application of wisdom seriously. In general, it adds both quality and quantity to your life. Living wisely, we're told, will prolong your years and bring you peace and prosperity. Quality and quantity. Living wisely also results in favor with God and with people. A minister was apparently filling in for a Sunday school teacher of a young boys' class. And he asked the young men, the boys, what do you think Jesus was like? Now, no doubt the pastor was expecting an answer like, well, he was a good man, he was a poet, he was a carpenter, he was like God. But one little fellow raised his hand and replied, I think Jesus was like my Sunday school teacher. Wow, has anyone ever compared you and your demeanor and deeds to those of Jesus? The one who takes living wisely seriously, like Jesus, will be noticed. That's why we should internalize wisdom. So how to benefit from wisdom? We see in verses 1 to 3, internalize it because it is beneficial. Now, secondly, in verses 5 to 12, we see four ways to act wisely towards God. Four ways to act wisely towards God. The first of all, found in verses 5 and 6, is to trust in the Lord. These verses say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Now there are four verbs in verses 5 and 6. Verbs are action words. The first three are commands for us to follow. Trust, lean, and acknowledge. And the fourth verb tells us what God will do, make straight, what God will do in response to our actions. So let's take a look at the first three. What am I to do? First of all, we are to trust God entirely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust expresses complete dependence. That word heart describes all that makes you, you, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. So this phrase here is telling us that we are to live wisely, and doing so begins with trusting God with our whole life. Trust God entirely. Secondly, we're told to trust God exclusively. The second half of verse 5 says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean means placing one's weight upon something, like relying upon a crutch. Now, what is it we are not to lean on, not to rely on? It's our own understanding. That means trying to figure life out ourselves. Now, honestly, this is our go-to response. This is what we will normally do. Okay, try to figure it out. So we are being told we must make the choice not to respond this way. Now, without choosing daily to submit ourselves to Christ Jesus as our Lord, we only give lip service to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. What does wisdom tell us to do instead of leaning on our own understanding? Number 3, we see here, the first part of verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. So thirdly, we are to trust God completely. Trust God entirely, trust God exclusively, and trust God completely. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Living wisely means submitting every aspect of my life to God. There's no division between religious and secular. You vowed your whole life to him. It's not just talking about, okay, I'm going to commit a few hours on Sunday, or okay, all day Sunday. No, every day, all the days. Trust God completely. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then verse 6 ends by telling us what God will do. God's response, he will make your path straight. The Hebrew word used here means to remove obstacles that are in the way. And it's interesting that this word also contains an intensity that suggests that God will not enter into this effort for us half-heartedly. He's putting his whole self into this. In other words, when we depend upon the Lord to help us with a situation, he gets fully involved on our behalf. That's what we're promised. That's what we're told as we trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, in verses 7 and 8, we're told the second way to act wisely towards God, and that's fear the Lord. Verses 7 and 8 say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. What does being wise in your own eyes suggest? That you think that you have the answer, that your way is best, and it suggests possible arrogance and a lack of humility. Now realize that the author is not comparing your wisdom to that of your friends. You may be smarter than your friends, or even your instructors, but the author is comparing your wisdom to the Lord's. The Lord is the source of all truth and wisdom, and we are being warned not to let our wisdom trump that of God's. Rather, we are to humbly acknowledge God as our authority and accept his wisdom as supreme. Obeying the Lord's commands brings health and strength into both our bodies and our relationships. Thank you, Lord. So we are to trust in the Lord, to fear the Lord, and thirdly, honor the Lord with your resources. In verses 9 and 10, they say, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your resources. Now the father's wise words in this chapter to his son include wisdom in the use of finances. Giving the first of the harvest to God demonstrated thanks and gratitude to God as the source of the harvest, as well as showing trust that the Lord will continue to provide for their needs throughout that harvest season. So giving away what first comes in to the temple, to the Lord, is a means of thanking the Lord, but also expressing your trust that you believe it's going to continue. You know he's going to continue to provide, to look out for you. Those of us today who don't earn our living through agriculture can follow the principle of first fruits by tithing a regular amount from our salary rather than hoping that there's going to be something left over at the end of the month that we can give. And as we do this, we are acknowledging that all that we have comes from God, and we're also demonstrating that we trust in the Lord to provide for our needs. So we give to him before we spend it on ourselves. That's the idea here of honoring the Lord with your resources. You're showing that you trust him. And the father saying to his son, this is a wise way to live. This is what God's asked us to do. And thirdly, in verses 11 and 12, we're told to embrace the Lord's discipline. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. I think it's clear, no surprise, that discipline and correction are often seen as being negative. In the U.S., you do not want to be in the care of the Department of Corrections. However, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, the wise father is encouraging his son not to resent the Lord's discipline, because the Lord corrects us for our good, not to harm us. Let me ask you a question. I enjoy watching the Olympics, and perhaps you do as well. Have you ever questioned why an Olympic-level athlete would submit themselves to the indignity of letting a coach tell them what to do? You know, these people are, sometimes they're in the top 10 in their sport in the world. And here they are at the track, at the pool, letting a coach tell them what to do. Again and again, they run and they jump or they twist under the critical eye of their coach. Stop doing that. Try this. Good. Now do it more. Faster. Harder. And on the training goes. Why do they put up with the correction and the repetition? Because they know their coach is on their side, and their coach is focused on helping them, using discipline to be the best that they can. You see, discipline, used properly, is for our good. This is what the Lord intends for us, and why he disciplines us with the help of the Holy Spirit, to be like Jesus, because he loves us. The Tuesday, July 18th, 2023, Our Daily Bread focused the passage of Scripture with 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 10 to 16. It was about King Manasseh. And as I read this, it had me thinking of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In Proverbs chapter 3, a kingly father gives wisdom and advice for godly living to his son, the future king. Now, Manasseh's father was Hezekiah, a king who was faithful to the Lord. And I'm sure that Hezekiah tried to teach and model godly wisdom to his son. However, Manasseh is known as one of Judah's most ungodly kings. And rather than following in the footsteps of his father, he followed in the footsteps of his grandfather, Ahaz, and was a wicked king. Manasseh placed altars to other gods in the temple and throughout the land. He sacrificed his sons and practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft. When the king and the country ignored God's warning to turn from their evil ways, God allowed the Assyrians to attack the land. Manasseh was taken as a prisoner to Assyria, bound in shackles with a hook through his nose. We see this in 2 Chronicles 33, 10 and 11. And while in captivity, Manasseh humbled himself, repented, and called out to the Lord. And the Lord heard him, and in an amazing act of mercy, restored him as king of Judah once again. Manasseh destroyed the foreign altars and restored the daily sacrifices in the Lord's temple. However, he could not undo the evil that he had planted in the hearts of his countrymen. They went through the motions of changing, but deep within, they didn't change. I imagine that Hezekiah would have taught his son Manasseh the Lord's wisdom, especially because of the evil that his own father had done and that Hezekiah had to undo. However, Manasseh chose to ignore his father's wisdom on following the Lord until his own wisdom almost killed him. I think that when he was chained like an animal in prison, he remembered the proverbs he'd been taught as a child. And so he called out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Thank you, Lord. Parents, mentors, Sunday school teachers, club leaders, keep teaching God's wisdom to your students, to your children. Plant it in them. Plant it in. We pray that it would be more than just memory work. And we know that God's word does not return void. And for all of us, we all need to remember, hearing wisdom, even memorizing it, isn't enough. We must live it, making it part of our daily lives, and allow God to form us, to work in us, yes, to discipline and correct us, because it is for our benefit and because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We want to act wisely towards you. Let me close with a benediction from Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Walk in the Lord's wisdom. Live it out in your lives. And may he bless you this week. Goodbye.